Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, it's Scott here. On these lessons episodes of my podcast, I'll be selecting my favorite lessons from various guests and episodes of Success Story. Today, you're going to hear from Sean Cruz, VP of Sales at RSA Security. He is a tenured sales leader with over 30 years experience. He's worked for some of the largest organizations in the world. He gives us the blueprint for how to hire, train, and ensure sales rep success.
In a perfect training environment, you kind of have three elements. There's corporate methodology because you need to have, you know, corporate training to understand the company and how the company. So that's one element. The second element is the mentorship and leadership of a sales leader or someone that you can attach someone to that can provide that. And then the third element is just go try. And the go try part is the biggest part of it. So what we need to do, there's a game called Rebound. It's still out in the market. It's little marbles and they bounce up.
Yes.
Like shuffleboard.
Yeah.
You know, I always say to junior salespeople, my job is to provide you the boundaries so you can bounce back and forth so you don't hurt yourself. But the best person to help you is yourself. Take this methodology, which is the corporate side, learn from it, take what I provide you and learn from it, and then go out and learn and practice and skill and see how that develops and then do it again. It's like a constant cycle.
Do you find that sales reps, it could be coming from sales and coming from tech or people that are coming from the outside, do you find that they try and default onto you as like a resource that they should be using a little bit less, but they try and use more? Than they should be, sort of like they're just like always coming back, always asking questions, scared to go out on their own when you try that?
I think, you know, part of what we need to do as sales leaders is be prepared to make tough decisions about personalities, right? Mm-hmm. I've met a lot of great people that are in the wrong positions. And that's not a statement on, you know, someone's value. It's a statement on the fact that we put you in the wrong position. So let's find a good spot. So, you know, there's no bad questions and there's no bad engagement with a sales leader unless it happens 100 times. If it's constant and consistent. So what I look for is, you know, incremental development because it takes time. You know, if you ask me the same question 3 or 4 times, I'm okay with that because I want you to be really good at that. And part of my job is to, when you ask me a question 3 times, I'm going to apply that to you and see if you're learning over time. If you ask me the same question 8 or 9 times, maybe that's an indicator that we should look at elements. So it's the balance between the two. There's no right and wrong answer there because sometimes you have to be patient that little extra bit with certain people. Others go fast, others go slow. You kind of have to just watch and see because not everybody matures at the same pace. And, you know, I've seen some really great salespeople mature just beyond the point where people were ready to move them into some other role and they just needed that extra little. So being, you know, the difference between being a good sales leader and a great sales leader is figuring out when you put too much in and you need to make a move versus when you're right close to having someone be the person that you've been training them for.
And how do you see that? Like, how do you see if somebody is, because obviously you want to try and push those people into the right position when you're hiring and onboarding them because it's expensive to let them flounder in a role for a significant period of time. So what are the I guess you kind of mentioned the personality traits, but what other items would you look for outside of just a very charismatic individual who is okay at approaching people? What other traits would you look for in somebody when you are bringing them on that would support their success outside of just their personality?
Well, I think, personality is top of mind, but I think certainly kind of appearance. So the second thing you want to look for is how does somebody appear,
They present themselves, yeah.
And sometimes simple things, personal hygiene.
Yeah.
How does somebody carry themselves in the con? Are their hands clean?
Like yeah.
Simple things that you can pay attention to over time. And are they dressed well? Nice, different things like that. And that's not always a perfect indicator, but certainly, personality is number one, appearance is number two, because the other, you can train somebody and teach somebody on technology. You can teach them methodology, but you can't teach them, personality, and you can't teach them hygiene and personal
presentation and just professional appearance and whatnot.
Exactly.
So that's great. So let's talk more. So we sort of spoken on hiring and what to look for outside of the traditional norm. We've spoken about like coaching and accountability. For an individual to be effective, obviously it depends on the market. But for sales strategy, what type of sales strategy does RFA or do you subscribe to when actually interacting and dealing with customers? Is there a certain one that is a Sandler or is a challenge, or is it just like that we focus on solving solutions and identifying pain points, and it's more like a high level? Like what is your thought on that?
Well, I think every organization will have a variation of its own sales methodology. So we here at RSA use force management. In previous lives, we've used Sandler, Bosworth. At the end of the day, as a sales leader, over the course of your career, you're going to get exposed to different methodologies. So, I think out of that methodology, great sales leaders incorporate multiple elements as part of a regional development strategy. So one of the things that always frustrated me throughout my career is that we take salespeople, drop them into a territory, and then a year later wonder why they haven't been successful. Because if you're in sales, you should just go sell, right?
Yeah.
The reality is, organizations need to take a significant level of accountability. And I talk to my sales team about this, and I talk to my sales leaders. I believe the corporation generally should provide you 50% of the in-region kind of support. And when I say, when I use that number, so as a sales leader, I look to bring in partners, bring in channel, bring in my field marketing, bring in my own network and Rolodex and others into a region, into a territory to help my rep create demand. It's my job to help that early funnel and develop that early funnel with a sales rep in every region that I manage. And I think if I am accountable for half, well, guess who's accountable for the other half?
Yeah.
And I think, given the amount of investment that we make in selecting somebody and training them, we spend a year, year and a half, it behooves us as an organization to invest intelligently in the development of the territory in support of the goals of the territory. So I apply a really somewhat unique model in the sense that I actually carve the business plan, for lack of a better description, into two elements. Here's what I'm going to do in your territory. Here are the things that we as a company are going to provide to you: field marketing, channel development, different resources, events, workshops, business development. There's our half. Now let's look at the work that you're doing to accelerate what we're providing and create the other half of your pipeline. And I think that's something that a lot of sales leaders don't really, because it means I'm accountable to my team.
Yeah.
Across the board in individual elements. And I think, that's one of the areas that I think every company can improve on, is really understand, like, we owe our teams and our individuals effort. We owe them investment. We're accountable to assist, so I'm responsible for vision. I'm responsible for strategy. I'm responsible for resourcing and a bunch of other elements to help you. So now that you got all these tools, how are you going to then take these tools and give me the other half?
It almost helps make the accountability placed on the rep a little bit more easy to swallow, because now they know that you're coming to bat for them. And I think it's, I think that's a really good point that a lot of organizations don't do this well, because how many times, and it's ridiculous because they invest thousands, hundreds of thousands in training development. Then it's like sink or swim, buy, here's the phone book, go sell, which doesn't really make any sense because I've already invested thousands of dollars in you as a rep. So why wouldn't I support you to the best of my ability? That's a really strong point. And I think that more organizations, that's probably why as a sales leader, as an organization, you are successful because you don't have that, you know, just sink or swim mentality. You really do support.
Just to add to that, in, you know, one of the things that anyone in sales, when you're going through the interview process, very often we don't spend enough time asking questions about the company's thought process around in-region development. How much field marketing has been applied into the region over the last year? How many workshops have the company done? How many executives have visited into the territory? How many customers are there? There's a whole series of really great questions that should be asked in an interview process of salespeople to really understand what you're getting into. It doesn't mean you don't take the job if those things aren't there. Mm-hmm. What it does mean is that you really understand the situation you're entering into, and it allows you to then go back and go, okay, so we talked about this in the interview. You said, you know, there was no field marketing for the last year. How are we going to increase that? Because that's 15% of my business development number.
Yeah.
What about this? What about that? And I think, you know, some advice that I can give to anyone, whether you're a sales leader or someone that's going through an interview process, it doesn't really matter. That's a really healthy conversation to have. What are we doing within these 8 regions, these 10 regions? Let's pair each one off and look at Ottawa. What's going on in Ottawa? When mm-hmm. was the last time an executive was there? What relationships do we have? There's a lot of really great questions that are really simple. And very often we're afraid to ask them because if I ask, I might be accountable for something afterwards.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Just a quick question. Have you ever had one of those oh no moments when you realize that you accidentally deleted a huge file? Or worse, your whole computer dies. I know I have. It's happened to me a lot, but don't sweat it. The sponsor of today's episode, Backblaze, they have your back. It is unlimited backups for all your Macs, your PCs, or even your whole company, and it's really affordable, under $100 a year. If you're running a business, they take the stress out of protecting everyone's data. If you need more bells and whistles for compliance, so on and so forth, they have enterprise options too. Honestly, losing data sucks, but Backblaze makes getting it back easy. They have restored billions of files. They offer tons of restore options, including rapid recovery in an event of data loss or ransomware. And you can access your backed up data from everywhere and anywhere in the world using their web app, iOS, or Android apps. It's been recommended by the New York Times, Inc., Macworld, PC World, LifeWire, Wired, Tom's Guide, 9to5Mac, and tons more. And best, you can try it fully featured with no risk at backblaze.com/story. They set up that link for all Success Story podcast listeners. That is a no-risk free trial at backblaze.com/story. Seriously, back up your stuff. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.